Council have been waiting patiently for the last case, Riverside Behavioral Centers versus Stephen Tyrone Teal. Looks like Mr. Rafal.
Yes, sir.
And that's it. All right.
I cleared the room. May it please the court, I am Adam Rafal here representing Riverside Behavioral Centers. The appellants contend that the commission erred in three major respects. First, the commission did not deem the claimant's termination to be a termination for cause. Second, the commission did not determine that the termination was a refusal of selective employment. And third, the commission found the claimant's marketing efforts to be adequate. With regard to the first assignment of error, the employer contends that the commission erred in determining the employee's termination was not for cause. The commission framed the issue as one of a misuse of a computer system.
Well, the legal analysis isn't termination for cause, just the cause, right?
Yes,
There's
sir.
A distinction between those two concepts.
Under the Murphy decision, I would agree that it's justified termination for cause, and the employer contends that the termination for cause in this particular instance is justified. The commission attempted to frame the issue as one of misuse of the employer's computer system, and the deputy commissioner before it simply said it was a work performance issue, but an analysis of the facts in the record suggests something different. The employee testified he worked as an LPN in adult services and that his duties included medication administration. The claimant conceded he was terminated from this position. When he was asked why he was terminated, the claimant detailed the employer's disciplinary system. He agreed that he understood the employer's medication administration policy, and he said, "I documented on the computer that I gave medication that I didn't give." In fact, the claimant conceded that his termination was justified. He did so at hearing and also in his deposition, and he did not challenge or offer any rebuttal evidence that the employer's decision was based on anything other than what it stated the termination was.
What deference do we owe the commission's conclusion that it wasn't justified or it didn't justify the termination of benefits?
I believe the commission is due deference if the record supports their conclusion, but I would respectfully submit the record does not justify their conclusion and that there's no facts in the record to find that this is just simply a normal termination as opposed to a justified termination.
Is that a matter of law as to whether the facts constitute a justified cause?
I think it's a matter of law as to whether or not the particular facts of each case justify termination for cause.
The facts aren't in controversy here, are they?
I don't believe they are. And in fact, the claimant, I think that's a strength of the employer's argument, because the claimant himself admitted that he falsified documentation in the case. The deputy commissioner looked at it as something that was just a normal error, and the commission didn't even really consider it an error. But when you look at the facts of the case, the claimant himself admitted that he committed the act that led to his termination. If the commission's decision is allowed to stand, essentially the claimant was allowed to progress through the employer's progressive disciplinary policy with two occasions where his conduct went to a higher standard and still acquire benefits. When you look in the record, particularly at page 30, the claimant admits that to what he did, and tellingly, in the record, the employer details the first verbal warning was not for documenting a dose of Valium on the narcotic sheet, but when the claimant was subsequently questioned about the third termination, he said, the question was, "Do you agree that you documented something that was not true, that wasn't true?" He said, "Yes." So he's admitted in his own words that he's done something that wasn't true. And to ignore the fact that the claimant himself...
But can you read that more than one way, though? I mean, one way would be fraud or misbehavior. Another is he's just agreeing that factually he made a mistake. In other words, he documented something that was incorrect, although perhaps in good faith or because of technological ineptitude or whatever.
I believe it could be read in more than one way if it wasn't for the comment he made just before he gave the answer, which was, "I documented on the computer that I gave a medication I didn't give." I think that takes it above just a normal mistake and puts it into the realm of an intentional or willful omission.
Well, except there's no statement as to intent, and while it may be normal and regular for a person to read that and think he did it intentionally as opposed to merely accidentally documenting the medication. Is it your problem that the commission apparently found that it was accidental or potentially found that it was accidental?
Well, I believe the commission, if they made that finding, if it interprets that they made that finding, it's not justified by the facts. There's no evidence in the record to support it. The claimant was asked a specific question, and you agree that you documented something that wasn't true, and his answer was yes.
Well, right, but if I wrote down today that the temperature was 32 degrees outside because I hit the wrong keys on my computer, and you asked me, did you document something that wasn't true? Well, it wasn't 32 degrees outside, so saying yes to that is acknowledging that, but doesn't necessarily mean I did it on purpose or intentionally or it was anything other than simple negligence.
But again, Your Honor, I would refer to the earlier statement he made in looking at this in its entire context, which was he said, I documented on the computer that I gave a medication I didn't give. I think when you look at the facts, when you look at his testimony put together, I don't think it was a simple mistake.
Well, does the law only talks about wrongful act. Doesn't talk about intentional, willful, or deliberate, does it?
The commission attempted to impose that standard, and I don't think that's the standard that was established by the case law. The commission, in its decision, actually in a footnote, I believe it's in the record on page 239. They said, for the sake of clarity in the plea list, we note that had we found the claimant's termination resulted in an actual or constructive refusal, they would not find the termination was for cause, and they said that there was no, it did not constitute a deliberate violation of a company rule. So I think they're imposing a standard when actually some of the cases of this court have said that it's the claimant's conduct that the court needs to evaluate. And in this particular case, the claimant showed a pattern. And when you look at the violations, the first violation had to do with administration of Valium. The second violation was perhaps more innocuous. It had to do with the scanning rates of the machine he was using. But the third violation, again, he agreed that he did something and documented something that he didn't actually do. So under any of those standards, the employer would submit that the wage loss or the reason the claimant actually has wage loss in this case is attributable to his own actions. And the commission erred in finding that it was not.
So, Mr. Raffel, most of the cases that deal with justified cause is in the context of the employee being discharged from selective employment. Here he wasn't discharged from selective employment. Does that make any difference analytically?
I would argue not, and I would urge the court to expand the analysis that was introduced in the Shenandoah Motors case versus Smith. In that case, the court found that with regard to a constructive refusal of selective employment, which is another argument that we make here, but constructive refusal of selective employment, it did not require an actual post-termination bona fide offer of suitable light-duty employment. Under the facts of this case, the claimant was injured, and I believe the evidence was it was 5 days before he was able to see a doctor and therefore have restrictions. But by the time he was assigned the restrictions, the employer had already made a justified decision to terminate, and that would be our argument. And moving off the termination for cause, which we believe the commission failed to analyze, the other issue where the employer contends the commission erred was they found that the claimant did not refuse selective employment. The employer contends that there's no support in the evidentiary record for this finding.
Do we need to get there? If we find that he was terminated for justifiable cause, do we need to get to selective employment or whether he marketed his residual work capacity?
I would contend that you do not. If you find that it would result in a permanent forfeiture of benefits, therefore the analysis of the second two errors would not be necessary to be redundant. But for the sake of completeness, assuming the court does not find there was a justified termination for cause, I would submit that the commission erred in determining there was not a refusal of selective employment. The employer representative, Ms. Leanne Lewis, stated in her direct testimony that the claimant would have been accommodated if he had not been terminated. The claimant offered no evidence to refute this testimony, and the commission chose to rely on an earlier statement where the witness was asked about the employer's general policy, where she said, "We try to accommodate." But she unequivocally said that in this particular case, they would have accommodated the claimant but for his termination. The commission relied erroneously on her general statement rather than the unrebutted statement that this particular employee would have been accommodated but for his termination. Further, the deputy commissioner determined that there was a refusal of selective employment, and the commission took this issue up even though the claimant did not appeal it to the full commission. There was no assignment of error to the commission's decision that there was a refusal of selective employment. And the employer submits at a minimum, the deputy commissioner's finding of an unjustified refusal of selective employment should be reinstated. There is no evidence in the record to support the commission's finding that the employer did not meet its burden to prove it would have offered work. The transcript clearly indicates that they would have accommodated this specific employee but for the termination. The evidence is clear on this point, and the claimant, again, offered no evidence to rebut the testimony. In fact, the claimant's attorney never at any point asked the employer about the grounds for the actual termination. That was unrebutted, and the claimant in his testimony conceded that the employer had gone through its normal disciplinary procedures in terms of providing him with a verbal warning, a written warning, and ultimately a termination for the wrongful act. Turning to the last issue, I also believe that the commission erred in finding that there was a sufficient evidence of residual work capacity, of marketing residual work capacity. The claimant's testimony in the record is insufficient, as is the evidentiary record when you look at the factors established by the court. The commission found that the employee applied for 9 jobs between the period November 1 and November 30, 2013. And for the periods thereafter, the commission said that the claimant failed to provide significant detail about his efforts. He did not describe the positions in detail for which he applied. He simply submitted a list and offered no contemporaneous testimony as to whether he contacted the employers on the list, whether he determined that the jobs being offered were within his residual work capacity as assigned by his doctor. He offered no testimony about his experience or education or his motivation in searching for these particular jobs. And the commission even noted in its analysis that the efforts were dangerously sparse for the words that they used. Yet despite looking at this analysis in that way, they still determined that he is eligible for benefits because he found 2 to 3 jobs afterwards. But it doesn't describe or doesn't analyze under the standards of this court his efforts for the periods up to and in between the finding of those jobs. So the employer would submit, if there's no other questions, that the commission clearly erred in determining there was no justified termination here, that there was no refusal of selective employment, and that the claimant marketed his residual work capacity. And for those reasons, we'd ask that the opinion be reversed.
All right, thank you for your argument. We'll come down to Great Council, and this will conclude the court's docket.